Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host Ingrid Green Adams. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing 3 other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in Atlanta. Worked as a criminal and civil private investigator for over 30 years. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She's a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee, also the SCLC Justice for Girls. She's a big supporter and loves standing in the gap for domestic violence victims and survivors, and eagerly wants to put an end to domestic violence by getting help for the abusers. Evangelist Norma Chapman's desires to reach out to many people that are living in this environment. Ingrid Green Adams is a 1983 magna cum laude graduate of Southern University in New Orleans, Louisiana. She retired from the Department of Homeland Security as an intelligence research specialist in 2013. Ms. Adams is the co-owner of Green's consulting company specializing in consultation and motivational speaking, the New Orleans chapter of the NAACP, several books of inspirational poetry. She's also a mentor and tutor. She is a lifelong resident of St. Charles Parish. Ladies and gentlemen, Facing Your Fears, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman.
Good evening to all our radio listeners out there today. It brings the joy to have another exciting, interesting show prepared for you all today. Today's episode will be related to economic development. Our special guest today is Mr. Anthony Jackson, Jr. Co-host, would you please introduce Mr. Jackson to our listeners?
Yes, thank you, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Mr. Anthony Jackson, Jr. is a native of New Orleans who has decided to encourage our communities about entrepreneurship. As a result, he decided to host entrepreneurship and business seminars in different areas of New Orleans. These seminars are to encourage our people to face their fears by creating economic development for our communities. These seminars target individuals who want to start their own businesses. Tune in to hear more about this informative jumpstart on how you can better your communities and learn how you can get started with owning your own business.
Good evening, Mr. Jackson.
Good evening, Evangelist. How are you today?
I'm blessed. It's a pleasure having you on today's show. Mr. Jackson, in your introduction you sent me, you stated that you decided to encourage our communities on economic development. Can you share with our listeners on today what have been done so far in the city of New Orleans since you began this task?
Yes, and I just want to say thank you, and it's a pleasure, honor, Evangelist, on having me on your show. And I just wanted to elaborate my experience as a college student growing up in New Orleans East, but also as I traveled amongst the world in different cities and states, I noticed that not only in Louisiana, there are other states that have economic development problems. And as a resident, I decided to do the research and reach out to agencies that help people with providing them with the information and tools that they need to get their business started. So it started as a community project, and it resulted into encouraging our citizens in all communities around different states and internationally to start their own business and to create their economic growth.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson, as a young man with so many visions, I was wondering, after receiving your information on about economic development, how can we encourage other young men and women, to reach out and start doing the same thing to make a difference in their community? First, though, I would like to ask that what specifically that you've done in the city of New Orleans, and what area was it done? I remember seeing you on the television where there was a lot of garbage and was thrown in a certain area here in the East New Orleans. And I on the news, you went out and you encouraged them to come out and clean that particular area up. And then a couple of weeks later, they aired you on television saying that it was done, that it was completed. So besides that, can you just share with our listeners how that come about and what motivated you to say this is enough, that our people are living in this environment and we need to clean up our areas? And if there's other areas in the city or outside of our state of Louisiana, maybe we have some listeners there that do not live in the city of New Orleans, but maybe they have the same type of environment that you had cleaned up out here in the city, in the East New Orleans. What can you share with us? What really motivated you? What gave you the mindset, enough is enough, something needs to be done about this?
Absolutely, Evangelist. Well, as a young person in today's society, I am very much so in tune with social media, where I have followers and people follow me from other states. For example, I had a friend of mine that I followed in Atlanta, and he just advised me that out here in Atlanta, they're encouraging people to start their own business, small businesses. I said, well, that's a good idea. We need to bring that idea to Louisiana. So that sparked the idea. And as far as other community projects, it started, I always have my visions started from the church because I was raised in the church. And they always told us that your community where you live is very important. And once you put positivity in the atmosphere, people will see that and it will be a domino effect. And now since I've put my morals and my community importance to the community on a broader scale, now other young people have came to the platform and they want to help their communities by cleaning up trash, creating their own businesses. And so it's becoming a movement for the millennials. And that's what this seminars that I host, those are the seminars, that's what they are about.
Mr. Jackson, would you agree with me that we should encourage more of our black people to start their black businesses back up and running again in the entire United States, because everywhere you go, you know, you hardly see any black businesses on the corners anymore. You know, they're all here in the city of New Orleans, we have Atlantic and the Vietnamese. So, and in other Chicago, Detroit, and other places I visit, there's other native that really have their businesses up and booming. What can we encourage? How could we encourage? What could we say to our listeners on the day that can encourage them if they're thinking about going into a business? What type of business that they should go in, and what area of their communities they should think about, you know, putting their business in? You know, not just particularly where all of these businesses are, you know. And I'm not being precious here, but I'm just saying to give our blacks, or young black leaders and young black people, an opportunity to bring the black businesses back into our neighborhoods. What could you share with us on today?
Absolutely. When you mention black ownership, black entrepreneurship, what I mentioned earlier in our conversation, reaching out to my friend in Atlanta, they have plenty of black entrepreneurs in Atlanta. So I believed firmly in his plan, and I saw the vision, which led to me creating the Young Man with the Plan seminars to encourage our black people in society that we have to have our own economic development in our communities. We have to provide resources amongst ourselves. Every other nationality comes from their countries all to America, and they produce on our land, in the land of the free. So we have to build economic development for our children and their children, which leads to generational wealth. So it's very important that we start owning our own homes, opening our own businesses, so that we can create economic opportunity and create more jobs and build our communities up.
You are still listening to Facing Your Fears, Block Talk Radio, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, co-host, Mrs. Ingram Green Adams. Listeners, don't forget, if you have a question on today or want to just join in on our conversation on today and give us your and share with us some of your visions or some of your input on economic development, remember to press the number 1 on your phone. And with doing that, I was getting a signature on my end letting me know that you have a question to ask our guest, our co-host, or myself, or you just simply want to share in on our conversation on today. Our guest today is Mr. Anthony Jackson Jr. Our topic we're discussing today is economic development. Co-host, Ms. Adams, would you like to share anything or have anything to ask our guest on today?
Yes, thank you, Evangelist Norma Chapman, my host. I just wanted to piggyback on the comments that our guest speaker just elaborated on. The question came to my mind about incentive programs. Are there any type of activities whereby maybe churches or other fashions of our communities or neighborhood could combine with his efforts in order to help develop and just encourage our young people, especially in our neighborhoods and in our black communities within the city, to just become more interested in wanting to find out about businesses so that we could help start off generations and generations and build up like the other people in our communities have done? Are there any kind of incentive programs or groups where churches or organizations could follow along in your program, Mr. Jackson?
Well, I will say this. Every seminar that I host, and currently I have a seminar coming up this Saturday at Shiloh Church Fellowship in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, we conduct these seminars in the churches because it falls under the category of faith-based initiative, which mm-hmm. is where I learned my vision growing up. I grew up in the church, and the preacher always stressed and emphasized to have multiple streams of income, which is why I want to bring my message to the church, because this is our safe haven for black people. This is our safe place, mm-hmm. and this is where we can learn about financial literacy. We can learn about money and how to invest our money, how to invest our money long-term to start our own business. Everything starts from the church. My platform is from the church because it's faith-based initiative, which is mm-hmm. helping the community and also encouraging our citizens to face their fears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Jack.
Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, what stood out in your bio that you sent me and information that you sent me in reference to your vision? And you said you're a young man with a plan. What are
yes.
some of your plans and your vision that you have going forward with the task that you have before you?
Young man with a plan, that is my slogan, because I truly believe that I am the young man with a plan. And that slogan came about when I read my research and I read upon Governor Huey P. Long. In 1947, Governor Huey P. Long stated that he wanted to put a chicken in every pot. Well, I'm Anthony Jackson Jr., the young man with the plan, and my vision for New Orleans East and all other cities and states around the world is to put one or two small businesses in every block.
Okay, so my next question would have been to you, how could some of these plans increase our lifestyle? And you just stated one of them by bringing more of our black businesses back into the communities. Can you share with the young listeners out there today, are there parents that can relate what you're saying, that they can go back and encourage their children? As young people in the community, what can they do? Like you said, you were a vision that came with all of the trash and all that you had, and you put it into action by calling the necessary officials that you needed to get in contact with and cleaning up that environment in that community, right? So as a young man or woman that's listening to the show on today, or maybe a parent that can encourage their youngsters, what exactly, what layout specifically can you encourage them that they can get started? Not just, you know, I'm writing the book, moving, still not going anywhere, you know. And in this book, I'm talking about how people put things in their mind and they want to, their desire is to do something, but they only think about it, right? They never leave their mind. They do not go and put it into action. So I entitled that book, Moving, Still Not Going Anywhere. So we want to encourage you, if you're thinking on doing something, how could you encourage them to go forth with their with what they are thinking about doing and what their goals are in life? How, you know, what would you say to one on today?
Yes, Evangelist, and you have a great point. Well, first thing first, what I would start by doing, which God's word says in the Bible, write down your vision and make it plain. So the first step to any plan is to have a plan and to have a vision. So the first step would be to write on a piece of paper your plan, your purpose, and who is your target audience. I happen to be a youth and community advocate for all the youth in all parts of the world, in every community. I would like to clean every community, one community at a time. My vision to help young people is to create a community center where they have a community center where they feel comfortable, they can converse and talk with their peers, and it's also a hub to get them away from the distractions that they face growing up in today's society. Also, my vision for the youth is to create a boys club, which is an organization where I take boys from the age of 14 all the way to the age of 18, and they come as a boy and they leave as a man, and I will teach them everyday life skills, you know, how to tie a tie, how to shave, you know, how to wear proper clothing. I will teach them etiquette, how to use a spoon and a fork, how to go to restaurants, how to conduct themselves, their behavior. But most importantly, I will teach them financial literacy, teach them how the importance of a dollar and how you should spend your dollar and how you should invest your dollar. I will teach them those three important values that I was taught as a young man in today's society. And I would encourage them to know who they are and to live in their purpose and to live in their passion.
You are still listening to Facing Your Fears, Block Talk Radio Show, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, co-host, Ms. Ingram Allen Green. I want to thank my listeners again for tuning in on today, and I see we have many listeners out there on today. And I want to remind you to please press the number one on your phone if you have a question for Mr. Jackson, myself, or the co-host, or if you just want to share some of your opinion on today's topic. Mr. Jackson, I understand you are running in the upcoming election. Can you share with us what are you running, what seat you're running for, and what encouraged you to run for that particular seat?
Well, Evangelist, I have not, at this time, I have not thought about any political aspirations. I just want to encourage my people to start their own business. And I just want to, I have a few more events that I want to host and just get the job done and get the work done for my community. Because living in New Orleans East is a dire need for small businesses and is a dire need for entrepreneurship and getting the people a piece of the pie and what they deserve. So I have quite a bigger vision than political aspirations at this current moment. But it may be something I look into down the line eventually.
Thank you. With with the mind that you have, and one thing you said that I really admire about changing the dress code for our young boys and girls out here today, I think that's a big factor in their lives, how they're carrying themselves on the corner and how their lifestyle is so much different. And being a young man yourself, I want to commend you on such effort in helping our young people know the difference in how to become a better man and what can bring them further in life and how they can get ahead in life besides just standing on the corner selling drugs or having a gun in their hands. And our rap music today, now my opinion is that the encouraging records is not an encouraging songs to me that our young people should be listening to, especially if they're singing about violence. To change the subject on today, Mr. Jackson, as you know, I'm a big supporter, and as my listeners know, in helping stop domestic violence here in our city and around the entire world. As a young man, what can you share with our listeners on the subject of domestic violence?
Yes, I have a lot to say because, and again, I want to thank you for your hard work and dedication. Domestic violence is a huge topic that I think that should be on the forefront as far as issues in our community, especially dealing with our women. We must appreciate, we have to go back to treating our women as queens and seeing them as women. Now, I know that's hard to say for some, but for me, I see all women as queens, because we all have a mom, we all have mothers, and we want our moms and our mothers to be treated like royalty, so we should treat someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's niece like royalty. Again, the behavior does stem from the rap music to a degree because of the devaluation and how they view women in the rap music. I disagree wholeheartedly. They're not. The lyrics are vulgar. The lyrics are degrading women on all levels. In the videos, the women are half naked, half dressed, and we're sending the wrong message to our women as objects, and we're not treating them as humans because we all should be treated fairly. And again, violence should never be accepted on any level. I don't care if it's a mistake. I don't care if you got in an argument. It is never okay. Because when you put your hands on someone, you don't just abuse them physically, but definitely mentally. And it starts mentally in most cases.
Now, my work that I'm doing in the community is I'm trying to get more help for the abuser as well as the victim, but I feel as if we can stop our abusers and get some more help for them in reference to counseling and getting to their mind and find out why they feel that they should abuse, be an abuser, why they feel that they shouldn't have control over whatever situation is that he feels or she feels that she should have control of that in that person's life. And my goal and my vision is we can get more help for the abusers who would have less victims, as I say every week on the Facing Your Fears talk show. But what can you share with us that can help our city here, the city of New Orleans and other cities and states? What can they do to increase help in saving victims' lives and also saving the abusers' lives? Because if they kill someone in the process of their violence, then they have to spend the rest of their life in penitentiary, and maybe in some cases they can get the death penalty. So
right.
It's just saving the victim's life who they killed, and in my case, my abuser took his own life, right? So we're looking at
lots
of things that could happen with the subject of domestic violence. And it doesn't just have to be a physical thing that happens. It can also be mental abuse to where it starts off with words and embarrassment and then humiliating their victim. And then it turns into a deadly situation. So as a young man that's talking to another young man And keep in mind, there's so many women that, and young girls that are very aggressive as well, that they are just as bad as a boy or a man that abuses their victims. So we're going to be talking, and I want you to share it with not just the young men, but also young women, old men, and old women that living in this type of environment and they are abusers. What can you share? I know you just said that they should treat their ladies as if they were queens, but also what I'm trying to get our listeners to hear on today, what you think that goes through, and I know you're not a psychiatrist, but what would you think what goes through one mind when they have this type of personality?
Okay. The first word that comes to my mind is love. A person, what people have to realize is in life, behavior, choices, decisions, these variables, they have an explanation, whether you understand or that person does. But there's a reason for everything. And in most cases, the reason why I use the word love, because if you don't love yourself and you don't see yourself as a human being or worthy, and you don't see your life as valuable, do you care about someone else's life? That's the first question. Second of all, in most cases, how do you view women, or how do women that beat men, how do you view men? Third of all, I believe that part of it does stem from how you were raised. Did you come from an abusive background? Did you come from a hostile environment? Were you abused as a child? These are the variables and factors that you have to factor in when you're looking into these cases. But love, when a person gets to a place where they can love again and where they feel their spirit is at ease, they're at peace, then you won't exhibit this animalistic behavior. You won't exhibit this type of behavior towards anyone. Because you love yourself and you love your brother and your sister. You love your neighbor. You love people. So I believe that it starts from the root, which is how a person is raised. And it just constantly builds on one another from what they see, from what they hear, what they listen to, and what they start believing. You know, every case is different, but for me, I would never put my hands on a woman, nor would a woman put her hands on me, because we're going to have love in the picture. And as soon as I see a person is not capable of loving themselves, then that's a clear warning sign for me, and it should be a clear warning sign to anybody that has a relationship with anyone.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. You are listening to Facing Your Fears Talk Show Radio. With your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, co-host is Ingram Adams Green. Ms. Green, we have heard very little from you today. At this time, I am going to yield and let you entertain our listeners on today and also get into conversation with our guest, Mr. Anthony Jackson Jr. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be listening to co-host, Mrs. Ingram Adams Green.
Well, thank you. First of all, my host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, it's a pleasure to co-host the show with you. And I want to thank you, Mr. Anthony Jackson, for all your valuable information you are imploring to our listeners today. When you were speaking just a moment ago, a thought ran across my mind, and it's a statement that I was told when I was in college. And that statement is, there's no discretion with taste. We simply know what we like best. And
right.
What you know is what you have going on in your neighborhood, what you have going on in your household. So if an individual is in a household where there is violence, where there isn't trust, where there isn't love, then this is what they are growing up with. This is what they have become accustomed to. And to them, this is their normal. So what we need to do like you said, we need to show love. We need to make sure that the love is there, and we need to try to get back to employing that in our communities and to our children and in our homes. Because we first, like you said, we have to love ourselves. We have to develop that self-worth and that self-esteem in everyone. An individual needs to know that they matter. They need to know that they matter, because it is, in my opinion, that when people become abusers, it's usually a thing of power, because this is what they can do. This is how they have their control. This is how they manipulate. This is what is giving them or fueling their self-worth or their self-esteem. They can belittle someone. They feel like they are in charge. And you never want to take that away from someone. You never want to take the fact that a person matters. So if we can instill in our children and in our communities, through our churches and in our school systems, if we can instill that in the individuals, in our children, that we matter, and if we can show this love, if we can show the children who are listening to the rap music that the way we were accustomed to doing business back in our neighborhoods, where everyone spoke to the elders when they passed them on the city streets, where everyone gave respect to people that were older, not because they were right, but because they have lived longer and had lots of wisdom, because they have experienced a lot of wrongs. They are people who can give back, and we need to develop that back in our communities. To me, today, everything that was in the closet is out of the closet, and everything that was out of the closet is gone back in the closet now. So, in my opinion, we need to get back to what we had. We had a certain level of pride. We had a certain level of morals and values. And we are just, every day, we are steadily decreasing our morals and our values. And that is what we're passing on to this generation, the millennials. We're telling them, this okay. It's okay to call a young lady out of her name. It's okay to say several things, vulgarities in these rap songs. It's okay. And what we should say is, it's not okay. It's not okay. Let's get back to the love and respect that we had from back in the day.
Right.
You are still listening to Facing Your Fears, Fox Talk Radio, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. I want to thank you, Miss.
Evangelist Chapman.
Evangelist.
Well, we must be experiencing a little technical difficulty here.
Yes, but I believe that I believe every point you made is very valid, and we have to get back to it being a community effort.
Correct.
We have to get to know our neighbors. We have to get to know all demographics of the people that live in our communities, so that we can come together and we can get everybody on one accord.
Right, right, because there is a saying, and I'm a firm believer of that. It's what you put into your mind. If you keep telling yourself that you're no good, that you're not worth anything, that you're not going anywhere, that you come from people that are nothing, they have no value, then what are you developing? What are you going to become?
All right. I want to thank you, co-host Ms. Adams, and our guest, Mr. Jackson. You are still listening to Block Talk Radio, Facing Your Fears, with Evangelist Norma Chapman, co-host of Mrs. Ingram Grace Adams, and special guest today, Mr. Anthony Jackson, Jr. I listened to the conversation, and so far, But I want to share with our listeners on today and also with our guests on today, why through our whole conversation on today, in this equation that we're talking about, I want to add that nothing can be done unless you accept Christ in your life and you go to him for instruction. I don't care what our plans are, because God said in his word, he knows the plans he has for us, right? He already knows our destiny. Right. He already predestinated our lives in Ephesians 4:1-4. He already knew who we were before we were formed into what? Our
mother's
body. And he knew our names when we were in our mother's womb. So in this equation, we want to put him first, because we will not be able to solve any problem without God on our side. We have a lot of listeners out there on today, and we do have bad, bad weather here in the city of New Orleans. And I don't know about the ones of the listeners that's outside of the city of New Orleans, but we're going to open up our lines a little earlier today. And if you want to share in this conversation or have anything to share with Mr. Jackson, myself, or the co-host, again, please remember to press the number 1 on your phone. Indicate to me that you have something to say, and I will gladly open up your mic. And I see we have a lot of callers out there today, which is just press number 1 and get in on this interesting conversation and encourage our communities and encourage our young people today to do the same as Mr. Jackson is doing, helping make a change in our community. Until we do get a caller that wants to say something, I will continue talking at this time. And I want to just tell Mr. Jackson, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. And I pray that with your seminars that you're doing around the city of New Orleans, that more and more and more young people will come and join in and hear more of what you have to say. And I pray that our officials here in the city of New Orleans and our ministers and churches and spiritual leaders, advisors, would contact you and help you go forward with your endeavors here in our city. Also, our co-host, Mrs. Ingram Adam Green. She's an expired writer which has written many, many books. And every week we'd be so busy with more than one guest on the show until she were a guest on the show before becoming my co-host. But she hadn't had an opportunity to really share what motivated her, what inspired her to become a writer, and especially write to young children. Boys and girls, this evening at this time, can you share a very little, very short introduction about what inspired you to become a writer?
Okay, sure. Thank you very much, Evangelist Norma Chapman, at this time. I would like to just pass on the fact that I have been writing since I was 13 years old, but life had gone on and I was employed and I received an early retirement. And so I decided I want to go back to writing, my first love. And so I sat to write and I had writer's block and I could not write for the very first time in my life. And I'm a very prayerful person. I'm also a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary, along with Evangelist Norma Chapman. And I was praying to the Lord and asking the Lord, why was I having this problem? And as I was praying to him, he gave me the reason why. He said, you want to write a story about your life, about empowering women, but my thoughts are not your thoughts right now. I need you to write 7 books of poetry to inspire my people, to inspire young people. He said, and then I'll let you write all the novels that you care to write. So being very prayerful, I know that obedience is better than sacrifice, so I decided to just be obedient and to start with the first novel, to start with the first book of poetry, excuse me. And as a result, the Lord has enabled me to publish 13 books of inspirational poetry and in my poetry, you can find words of encouragement. I am always trying to encourage young people to be the best that they can be, to listen to that small, still voice and let the Lord use them in a very powerful way.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Adams. I'm getting a message from a phone number, last four numbers of this phone number is 9019, and they're saying that they're trying to come in but cannot get through. Can you just hang up? I'm asking Nicole if she's still on, or he or she's still listening on today's show. Can you just hang up and call the show back and see if you can get in, because I'm looking for your number to open up your mic at this time, and I don't see, when I see your number. So just hang up and call back and get back in the studio with us. Maybe it was a drop call on my side, on my end, because I'm looking for your number, trying to get you in too, so you can comment on today's show. If you're still, just a phone number, beginning last four digits, 504, error code, last four digits is 9019. Call or call back so I can see your number so I can open up your mic. Thank you. You're still listening to Blog Talk Radio, hosted by Evangelist Norma Chapman. Facing your fears with the co-host, this is Ingram Adams Green, and our guest today, a young man with a plan, Mr. Anthony Jackson Jr. And I don't know whether the listeners can hear us today, but we have a lot of thunder and lightning going on, and we pray that the Lord will get us through this talk show on today. And I'm very excited to have Mr. Jackson on the show today. I'm very excited that a young man, I've met Mr. Jackson, and he's doing beautiful work here in our city. And he has come a long way since the first time that we were in each other's company. And Mr. Jackson, I want to encourage you on today to keep doing what you're doing. Keep reaching out to our citizens here in the city of New Orleans. Keep encouraging our citizens to develop more economic status in their neighborhood. And keep doing what you're doing to encourage young boys and girls, letting them know that they can make a difference in their lives and a difference in our lives as well. And we do want to remember that all that we do and all that we say, we give all the glory to God, because without God, we cannot do nothing. And I want to thank God on today for giving me the vision that I had to reach out and tell my story of my tragedy that happened to me in my life back in 1990. But then I began to give God the glory because I said, well, Lord, there's somebody out there that have an opportunity to change their life around, to stop doing what they're doing before they hurt somebody, real seriously hurt their loved one, or take someone's life. And it's too late to think about it then and to say, I'm sorry. Not only would you take someone's life, you can make it lose an eye. I know people have lost their eyesight with just a fingernail flap or a fingernail goes through their eye, and they've lost their eye. I know people have struck they hit somebody and they fell and hit their head or hurt their body to where a limb had to be cut off. So this is a very, very serious subject, domestic violence. And it hurts people, it's deadly, and it's not of God. God is not the author of no confusion. If you want to be blessed in life, and if you want God to open up the windows and bless you in life, well, you must remember you have to do it God's way and not do it our way. And I'm still looking for that caller's number. If she would just call, or he or she would just call back in, I would gladly open up the mic. I'm not seeing it on my dashboard. And if you would call back, I would gladly. If there's anyone else out there who wants to share on today's show, just say something to Mr. Jackson, our co-host or myself, feel free to press the number 1 on your phone, and I will gladly open up your mic. We have 15 minutes to go on the show on today. But I'm just so excited and I'm all thankful to all of my listeners who call in every week and who's supporting Facing Your Fears. I want to thank you so very much, and I want you to remember to keep me in your prayers, and I will keep you in my prayers. And I've been feeling pretty bad on today, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I truly want to thank my co-host, Mrs. Ingram Adam Green. Mrs. Ingram Green Adam, so joining in with me as my co-host. It's really a pleasure having her. And
yes,
I know God has better and higher heights for us.
Right.
In reference to talk show, Facing Your Fears. You know, many people have a lot of fears, and my little niece that you would have an opportunity to hear her next week, and my sister have written a song, Behind the Mask, for me, and I was hoping that it will be ready for today, but I'll be able to play the ending of it, just the ending of the song, just shortly before closing the show, and I want to let you hear a little bit of Behind the Mask on today. And I want to thank my sister Linnell Chapman Jock for writing the song, and my sister Wiza Chapman Henry for doing the instrumental part of the song, and my dear sweet niece Makila Henry, who will be the vocalist on the song. And you will hear the song next week as the show is playing, but you will begin. I will play a little bit of it today for you at the end of the show, because I'm so excited. They're not finished with it yet, but I'm just excited that God has blessed and has favored my family, the Chapman family, to be all that we are and all that we would ever be. It's all because of his grace and mercy and because of the love he has for the Chapman family. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
As we come to a close on today's show, which we have a couple of more minutes before closing time, and since there's not any callers, I don't see anyone that wants to say anything, but believe me, you have a lot of listeners out there on today, okay? They're not saying anything, but we have a lot of listeners that's tuning in on today's show. So
yes.
I know you want to thank listeners on today's show. Why don't you invite them to ask you, let them know that you're open for them to ask you any questions at this time. Just let them know that they can call and ask you anything, and you wouldn't answer their questions.
Yes, any questions to all the listeners all over the world that's listening, any questions you want to ask me as far as my spiritual beliefs, my community beliefs, domestic violence beliefs, I believe at the end of the day we're all people, and there's only one race, which is the human race. And again, because God has blessed me to be around people such as Evangelist Norma Chapman, which she encouraged me a few years ago, and she told me, she said, let me tell you something, son. On your journey that you're embarking on, you're not always going to have people that's going to be positive. You're going to have some negativity that comes your way. But if God puts it in your heart, and if God is for you, who could be against you? And so that spiritually resonated with me, and here I am 2 or 3 years later. So God puts people in our lives to, as we go on our path, to order our steps. And he's going to send the people that you need. So no matter what situation that you're in, it may seem like it's a cloudy, a dark hole, but eventually there is light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to keep holding on and keep praying, because prayer changes all things.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Mrs. Cole, can you share any information with the listeners how they can contact you in reference to getting a copy of your book that you have published and where the books can be found?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. Thank you, host Evangelist Norma Chapman. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me the privilege to be your co-host on this show. I want to thank God for you being the mighty woman of God that you are to allow me this opportunity so that we can help others and provide others with the information that the Lord is passing on to us, to our community and our listeners. I can be reached at my website, www.greensconsulting.wordpress.com. or you can reach me through email at greensconsulting@aol.com. It is always a pleasure to be on the radio providing this information to our listeners. And Mr. Anthony Jackson, I want to thank you for your words of encouragement and all of the work that you are doing in our community.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Ms. Green. And I am Evangelist Norma Chapman, your host. You can contact me by emailing me at all lowercase letters, norma_chapman@yahoo.com. You can also go to my Facebook page, which entitled my book, What Faith Can Do, has a page. Also, I have a personal page, Norma Chapman. Feel free to contact me through Facebook or through my email. Also, I'm on Instagram, and you can also contact me by calling the number 504-333-9550. Again, I want to thank my listeners on today for tuning in, and I pray that whatever has been said on today, and through Mr. Jackson, myself, and the co-host, that something that was said that was inspiring to you, and that can become an inspiration in your life, or anything that you were thinking about doing, that is a prime example of how young people can turn their lives around and do more and more and more with helping their communities and their surrounding areas to become a better environment, a better place to live by changing the environment that they are living in. Also, I want to say a very, very special thing to my special guest on today, Mr. Anthony Jackson Jr. And I want to encourage you, young man, to keep your plan, to keep your vision going. And anything that I can do for you, you know how to reach me, you know how to contact me. It certainly has been a pleasure working with you, not just this year, but the years past, with the NAACP, SCLC, and our state convention and other places that we have together in the same environment. I want to thank you for all that you do, and I thank God for all that He's going to do for you. So listen on today as my show comes to an end on today. First, I want to pray. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this great opportunity again, Father God, that you allow us, Father God, to go live on the radio, Father God, to encourage and inspire somebody that's out there listening on today, Father God. We pray that, Father God, all that we did and said was pleasing in your sight, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, to continue to give us the wisdom and the knowledge, and above all, the understanding how to go forward with faith in your fears instead of your talk show. We thank you, Father God, for our listeners on today. We thank you for our special guest, Mr. Jackson, on today. I thank you for my co-host, Ms. Adams. You know, Father God, I thank you for all that you do for me, Father God. I couldn't do it without you, Father God. But I know what God has for me is for me. And I lift this prayer up in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember, listeners, we may go off a little early on today, but I stay tuned and I hang up because I'm getting ready to play for you Behind the Mask. Accomplished is sung by Makita Henry, accomplished by Wanda Chapman Henry, written by my sister Linnell Chapman Jack. At this time, we are going to end the show and play Behind the Mask. Listen in, listeners, as it plays. Try to run. Behind the Mask, sung by my niece, Maquilla Hendrick, accompanied by the piano playing, my sister, Wanda Chapman Hendrick. The song was written by my sister, Linnell Chapman Jock, which she has given this song to me for the introduction of my show and for the ending of the show. And I want to thank God for them. I want to thank my sister, Linnell. And I want to thank my sister, Wanda, and I want to thank my lovely niece, Maquilla, for taking the time out to prepare this song for Facing Your Fears. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our episode on today. Again, I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Anthony Jackson Jr., for all the advice that he's given to young people, and I want to amend him on all his endeavors here in the city of New Orleans. Thank my co-host, Mrs. Ingram Adam Green Adam, for being the co-host and for being the lady that she is, a true woman of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to ask you for your prayers and your support with listening in every week, every Thursday, 4:30 to 5:30 on Block Talk Radio by dialing the number 917-889-3028. Yes, we are excited to have you on our show every week. And remember to keep us in your prayers, and we will continuously pray for all of you. This is the end of today's show, and I pray that someone was inspired and something that was said that can help your life. God bless you, and God keep you. Bye.
Come on.
Come on.